Welcome to the Daily Radio Bible. The day is June the 12th. It's a Monday, and it is day 163 in our journey through the Bible. Hello to everyone out there, whether it's morning or evening, afternoon, whatever part of the day this podcast is reaching you. I want to let you know that we try and keep things real simple here. We simply try to spend a little time in God's Word, to let God's Word spend a little time on us. I know how we need that, no doubt about that. We are establishing spiritual disciplines. sounds like I'm taking castor oil daily. But it's far greater than that, isn't it? It really is. It's so much better. It is bread. It is honey. It is life. It's time with Him. Wonderful. And we're going to do that today as we look into the book of 1 Kings chapter 12, 2 Chronicles 10 and 11, and we finish our reading in Philippians chapter 2. We are reading through the New Living Translation. Let's jump right in. 1 Kings chapter 12, the Northern Tribes Revolt. Rehoboam went to Shechem, where all Israel had gathered to make him king. When Jeroboam, son of Nebat, heard of this, he returned from Egypt, for he had fled to Egypt to escape from King Solomon. The leaders of Israel summoned him, and Jeroboam and the whole assembly of Israel went to speak with Rehoboam. "Your father was a very hard master," they said. "Lighten the harsh labor demands and heavy taxes that your father imposed on us. Then we will be your loyal subjects." Rehoboam replied, "Give me 3 days to think this over, then come back for my answer." So the people went away. Then King Rehoboam discussed the matter with the older men who had counseled his father Solomon. "What is your advice?" he asked. "How should I answer these people?" The older counselors replied, "If you are willing to be a servant to these people today and give them a favorable answer, they will always be your loyal subjects." But Rehoboam rejected the advice of the older men and instead asked the opinion of the young men who had grown up with him and were now his advisors. "What is your advice?" he asked them. "How should I answer these people who want me to lighten the burdens imposed by my father?" The young men replied, "This is what you should tell those complainers who want a lighter burden. My little finger is thicker than my father's waist. Yes, my father laid heavy burdens on you, but I'm going to make them even heavier. My father beat you with whips, but I will beat you with scorpions." 3 days later, Jeroboam and all the people returned to hear Rehoboam's decisions, just as the king had ordered. But Rehoboam spoke harshly to the people, for he rejected the advice of the older counselors and followed the counsel of the younger advisors. He told the people, "My father laid heavy burdens on you, but I'm going to make them even heavier. My father beat you with whips, but I will beat you with scorpions." So the king paid no attention to the people. This turn of events was the will of the Lord, for it fulfilled the Lord's message to Jeroboam, son of Nebat, through the prophet Ahijah from Shiloh. When all Israel realized that the king had refused to listen to them, they responded, "Down with the dynasty of David! We have no interest in the son of Jesse. Back to your homes, O Israel! Look out for your own house, O David!" So the people of Israel returned home, but Rehoboam continued to rule over the Israelites who lived in the towns of Judah. King Rehoboam sent Adoniram, who was in charge of forced labor, to restore order. But the people of Israel stoned him to death. When this news reached King Rehoboam, he quickly jumped into his chariot and fled to Jerusalem. And to this day, the northern tribes of Israel have refused to be ruled by a descendant of David. When the people of Israel learned of Jeroboam's return from Egypt, they called an assembly and made him king over all Israel. So only the tribe of Judah remained loyal to the family of David. When Rehoboam arrived at Jerusalem, he mobilized the men of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin, 180,000 select troops, to fight against the men of Israel and to restore the kingdom of Israel. But God said to Shemaiah, the man of God, "Say to Rehoboam, son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all the people of Judah and Benjamin, and to the rest of the people, this is what the Lord says. Do not fight against your relatives, the Israelites. Go back home, for what has happened is my doing." So they obeyed the message of the Lord and went home as the Lord had commanded. Jeroboam then built the city of Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim, and it became his capital. Later he went and built up the town of Peniel. Jeroboam thought to himself, "Unless I am careful, the kingdom will return to the dynasty of David. When these people go to Jerusalem to offer sacrifices at the temple of the Lord, they will again give their allegiance to King Rehoboam of Judah. They will kill me and make him king instead." So on the advice of his counselors, the king made 2 gold calves. He said to the people, "It is too much trouble for you to worship in Jerusalem. Look, Israel, there are the gods who brought you out of Egypt." He placed these calf idols in Bethel and Dan, at either end of his kingdom. But this became a great sin, for the people worshipped the idols, traveling as far north as Dan to worship the one there. Jeroboam also erected buildings at the pagan shrines and ordained priests from the common people, those who were not from the priestly tribe of Levi. And Jeroboam instituted a religious festival in Bethel, held on the 15th day of the 8th month, in imitation of the annual festival of shelters in Judah. There at Bethel, he himself offered sacrifices to the calves he had made, and he appointed priests for the pagan shrines he had made. So on the 15th day of the 8th month, a day that he himself had designated, Jeroboam offered sacrifices on the altar at Bethel. He instituted a religious festival for Israel, and he went up to the altar to burn incense. 2 Chronicles chapter 10. The Northern Tribes' Revolt. Rehoboam went to Shechem, where all Israel had gathered to make him king. When Jeroboam, son of Nebat, heard of this, he returned from Egypt, for he had fled to Egypt to escape from King Solomon. The leaders of Israel summoned him, and Jeroboam and all Israel went to speak with Rehoboam. "Your father was a harsh master," they said. "Lighten the harsh labor demands and heavy taxes that your father imposed on us, then we will be your loyal subjects." Rehoboam replied, "Come back in 3 days for my answer." So the people went away. Then King Rehoboam discussed the matter with the older men who had counseled his father Solomon. "What is your advice?" he asked. "How should I answer these people?" The older counselors replied, "If you are good to these people and do the best to please them and to give them a favorable answer, they will always be your loyal subjects." But Rehoboam rejected the advice of the older men and instead asked the opinion of the young men who had grown up with him and were now his advisors. "What is your advice?" he asked them. "How should I answer these people who want me to lighten the burdens imposed by my father?" The young men replied, "This is what you should tell those complainers who want a lighter burden. My little finger is thicker than my father's waist. Yes, my father laid heavy burdens on you, but I'm going to make them even heavier. My father beat you with whips, but I will beat you with scorpions." 3 days later, Jeroboam and all the people returned to hear Rehoboam's decision, just as the king had ordered. But Rehoboam spoke harshly to them, for he rejected the advice of the older counselors and followed the counsel of his young advisors. He told the people, "My father laid heavy burdens on you, but I'm going to make them even heavier. My father beat you with whips, but I will beat you with scorpions." So the king paid no attention to the people. This turn of events was the will of God, for it fulfilled the Lord's message to Jeroboam, son of Nebat, through the prophet Ahijah from Shiloh. When all Israel realized that the king had refused to listen to them, they responded, "Down with the dynasty of David! We have no interest in the son of Jesse. Back to your homes, O Israel. Look out for your own house, O David." So all the people of Israel returned home. But Rehoboam continued to rule over the Israelites who lived in the towns of Judah. King Rehoboam sent Adoniram, who was in charge of forced labor, to restore order. But the people of Israel stoned him to death. When this news reached King Rehoboam, he quickly jumped into his chariot and fled to Jerusalem. And to this day, the northern tribes of Israel have refused to be ruled by a descendant of David. 2 Chronicles 11. Shemaiah's prophecy. When Rehoboam arrived at Jerusalem, he mobilized the men of Judah and Benjamin, 180,000 select troops, to fight against Israel and to restore the kingdom to himself. But the Lord said to Shemaiah, the man of God, Say to Rehoboam, son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all Israelites in Judah and Benjamin, this is what the Lord says. Do not fight against your relatives. Go back home, for what has happened is my doing. So they obeyed the message of the Lord and did not fight against Jeroboam. Rehoboam remained in Jerusalem and fortified various towns for the defense of Judah. He built up Bethlehem, Etam, Tekoa, Beth-Zur, Sokor, Adullam, Gath, Mershah, Ziph, Adorim, Lachish, Azekah, Zorah, Ajilan, and Hebron. These became the fortified towns of Judah and Benjamin. Rehoboam strengthened their defenses and stationed commanders in them, and he stored supplies of food, olive oil, and wine. He also put shields and spears in these towns as a further safety measure. So only Judah and Benjamin remained under his control. But all the priests and Levites living among the northern tribes of Israel sided with Rehoboam. The Levites even abandoned their pasture lands and property and moved to Judah and Jerusalem, because Jeroboam and his sons would not allow them to serve the Lord as priests. Jeroboam appointed his own priest to serve at the pagan shrines, where they worshipped the goat and calf idols he had made. From all the tribes of Israel, those who sincerely wanted to worship the Lord, the God of Israel, followed the Levites to Jerusalem, where they could offer sacrifices to the Lord, the God of their ancestors. This strengthened the kingdom of Judah, and for 3 years they supported Rehoboam, son of Solomon, for during those years they faithfully followed in the footsteps of David and Solomon. Rehoboam married his cousin Mahalath, the daughter of David's son Jeremoth, and of Abihail, the daughter of Eliab, son of Jesse. Mahalath had 3 sons, Jeush, Shamariah, and Zaham. Later, Rehoboam married another cousin, Maacah, the granddaughter of Absalom. Maacah gave birth to Abijah, Atiah, Zizah, and Shelomith. Rehoboam loved Maacah more than any of his other wives and concubines. In all, he had 18 wives and 60 concubines, and they gave birth to 28 sons and 60 daughters. Rehoboam appointed Maacah's son Abijah as leader among the princes, making it clear that he would be the next king. Rehoboam also wisely gave responsibilities to his other sons and stationed some of them in the fortified towns throughout the land of Judah and Benjamin. He provided them with generous provisions, and he found many wives for them. Philippians chapter 2. Have the attitude of Christ. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges, he took the humble position of a slave, and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you, and now that I'm away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and power to do what pleases him. Do everything without complaining and arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in the world, full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. Then on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain, and that my work was not useless. But I will rejoice even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God, just like your faithful service is an offering to God. And I want all of you to share that joy. Yes, you should rejoice, and I will share your joy. If the Lord Jesus is willing, I hope to send Timothy to you soon for a visit. Then he can cheer me up by telling me how you're getting along. I have no one else like Timothy who genuinely cares about your welfare. All the others care only for themselves and not for what matters to Jesus Christ. But you know how Timothy has proved himself. Like a son with his father, he has served with me in preaching the good news. I hope to send him to you just as soon as I find out what's going to happen to me here. And I have confidence from the Lord that I myself will come to see you soon. Meanwhile, I thought I should send Epaphroditus back to you. He is a true brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, and he was your messenger to help me in my need. I am sending him because he has been longing to see you, and he was very distressed that you heard he was ill. And he certainly was ill. In fact, he almost died. But God had mercy on him, and also on me, so that I should not have one sorrow after another. So I am all the more anxious to send him back to you, for I know you will be glad to see him, and then I will not be so worried about you. Welcome him in the Lord's love and with great joy, and give him the honor that people like him deserve, for he risked his life for the work of Christ, and he was at the point of death while doing for me what you couldn't do from far away. Now may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. For he is far better than Epaphroditus, and he is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves every day. Amen. Hold firmly to the word of life. That's what we're told here in this passage. So let me ask you this question. What are you holding firmly to? What words do you hold on to? And are they bringing you life? Do they inspire hope and love? Or do they bring about despair and anxiety and self-protection? God wants you to hold firm to the word of life. But in order to do that, you're going to have to let go of some words. Words that have kept you captive and afraid. Words that were maybe spoken over you, maybe by someone you love. Maybe it's time that you let some of those words go, those words that have defined you and trapped you. In order for you to hold firmly to those words of life that God wants to give you this day, you're going to have to let go of the other words. See, God has something far better for you. He wants you to reach out and to receive words like forgiveness, loved, new, daughter, son. The gospel is the good news of Christ. This is the word we are to hold firmly to. And we are invited to hold on with all our might. And it's a word that assures us that though we are broken and bruised, and even though we've bruised and broken others, that we are loved by God, that Jesus, our champion, has come to give us his life, his word, to be spoken over us here and now, to heal, restore, transform us here and now. What words are you holding on to? Paul says, hold on to words of life. Hold firmly to them. In order to do that, you're going to have to let some words go. So reach out today and hear and receive and hold firmly to the gospel, the good news. Forgiven. Loved. Daughter. Son, new. That's the prayer of my own heart today, that I will hold firmly to the words of life. That's a prayer I have for my family, for my wife, my daughters, my son. And that's the prayer that I have for you. May it be so. DailyRadioBible.com. We hang our hat out here in the interwebs, right there at that place. That's the address. And it's always great to hear from you. It really is, to find out a little bit about you, who you are, where you're from, how you stumbled upon this podcast. More than likely, someone let you know. Someone invited you. Someone told you, hey, there's this podcast I'm listening to, and I don't know, maybe you should check it out. Maybe that's how your journey began here. Maybe that's how the words of life have begun to take some new life in your own heart because somebody shared with you. Let me encourage you to do that. Let me encourage you to be a part of that kind of a story, sharing words of life with people that are holding on to words that are not giving them life. You can play a big part in that journey by simply sharing the app with a friend. It's free, and we are so glad that we can offer this thing for free. It's because of people like you, people who share, and people who give. So how about starting off with giving the app? Sharing that app with a friend. Just click on that button that says share the app. Someone needs to hear words of life today. Hey, one way that you can stay in touch and in the know with the Daily Radio Bible is by liking our Facebook page and signing up for our newsletter. How about that? We send this thing out maybe twice a month, so we don't overrun your email inbox. So sign up for that newsletter. And last of all, if you would like to partner with the Daily Radio Bible to make sure that these words of life are moving out into the interwebs and into the homes and cars and various places where people listen to this podcast, if you'd like to make sure that this continues to happen, well, you can do that very easily by going to DailyRadioBible.com, clicking on the partner link. You can actually give right from the app itself. All you have to do is just click on that link there on the app that says donate. Or you can, if you're old school and you want to mail your gift in, you can mail it to Daily Radio Bible, 7216 Rolling Oaks Court, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45239. There you have it. We've done it again. We have spent another day in the Bible. Yes. And I plan on being back here again tomorrow to do the same thing. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, I fully intend to be here. Until that time, let's go forward in God's joy. Let's let His joy be our strength. And let's remember this, that you, me, we are loved. No doubt about it. All right, I'll talk to you again tomorrow. You take care. Bye-bye.